Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's B. Mitch and Finley on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980. No B. Mitch or Finley. They're flying back from Spain today. Probably jet lagged as all hell. So you get Denton Day and Linnell Willingham. You can tweet us at the Denton Day at NELL_BTP. We will open up the phones at 11. Let you get in. You want to point some fingers. We'll do a little blame pie in 30 minutes. There was some good from the game, Linnell, that I think needs to at the very least be highlighted. We've talked a little bit about some of the guys on defense that we saw play well. I mean, this was probably the easiest game to find good in over the last six, which Washington has now dropped six in a row. There is a twisted sense of irony that last year, after the team Hail Mary'd the Bears, that the Bears went on a massive losing streak, and now the Bears have kind of been at the start of this massive losing streak for Washington. Don't love that, but there is a twisted irony there. Who stood out to you positively before we start to blame a bunch of people around the organization?
Feels like most of the positive came from the defense, but I will go with an offensive guy. I thought you mentioned it earlier. Debo Samuel, once again, coming up big, seven catches. It was just impactful when you needed him the most, coming up with some big-time catches. I still feel like the jury is out for me in terms of whether I want him back here next year.
I'd keep him.
I think it just all depends how pricey he is.
If that number, if you can get Debo Samuel at, hypothetically, let's say 3 years, 40, I'd keep him.
You think he's taking anything under $20 million per? Probably not. I mean,
he should. I don't know that he wants to, but he should.
I don't know if that's something he'll do, but I think he definitely needs to be a part of what they have moving forward. He is a real weapon still, I feel like, and in a situation where you have other complementary pieces on the perimeter, I think his impact, you know, really gets heightened. You can see just how, you know, good he actually is.
I'm hoping that he saw the Terry situation unfold in front of his eyes this offseason.
Well, he's been through his own holdout.
So. He's been through his own, but he also turns 30 in January.
Yeah.
So I don't know that he's going to be asking for 20. If you can negotiate that price down, I would like to see him back. You get Terry, you get Debo, and then you draft a young wide receiver that has a little bit more upside right now than Jalen Lane does.
I mean, Nicholas Harper.
I mean, there's a bunch of dudes in college that have some really good upside. I'm not saying that the ship has sailed on Jalen Lane, but there's a lot more that needs to be developed before I can go into 2026 with any confidence that he is going to be a legitimate playmaker on the offense. I thought Debo played really well. This is the first game in a while that it looked like he was really healthy.
Yeah.
It also really highlighted that they don't have any other wide receivers. I mean, it was Debo
right
and it was Ertz.
Debo, Ertz, Chris Moore got a couple of targets. He was the third most targeted guy yesterday. They have a problem at wide receiver. And it's not because I think I'm past the point of blaming the roster construction. I think they're just a super injured team. Like, I'm willing to concede that at wide receiver.
It's
for them.
Both.
It's both, but I think it's more the injury factor right now than it is them being ill-prepared. I mean, you call Jacoby Jones up off the practice squad, and he comes up with a huge 25-yard catch, and it's like, who is that guy? You know, like, people, you're down to the studs right now
they
in terms of what you're having
Chris
to
Moore.
Trot out.
I don't know what the coach is.
I mean, he's been here since last year. There's familiarity with the system. Like,
I really
get it.
Love him, though.
I mean, who else are they going to play?
Then that's where it's the roster. So it's a combination of both. It's the roster construction and then the fact that they just really like Chris Moore.
I think that's fair.
because they went in with Noah, thinking that Noah Brown, and you know, if Noah Brown doesn't get hurt in mandatory minicamps, you know, he goes down with that like weird fluky knee situation, and then yeah. He never was really right.
I wouldn't call it fluky. I just think the kid just gets hurt a lot.
He does happen to get hurt a lot. Going in thinking that he was going to be wide receiver 3 when he had a history of injuries.
Yeah.
I mean, his injury last year was unfortunate, but it was like one of those crazy injuries where you're like, how did this happen?
Yeah, it doesn't. A spleen, like a lacerated kidney, it's like, come on.
I mean, that was nuts. I thought Ertz played well enough. The penalties are still killer.
Yeah.
And you could, if you want to argue that the penalties did a lot more bad than his 4 receptions for 42 yards did, that's perfectly okay with me. I'll hear that argument, and we'll give you the opportunity in 26 minutes here on 106.7 The Fan. I'll be Mitch and Finley, but he's clearly a favorite for the quarterbacks, whether it's Jaden or Marcus Mariota, and with no Sinnott playing, I was fine seeing him get a load of targets. When Sinnott gets healthy, though, the same way that you feel about Bobby Wagner and Jordan McGee, I need to see more Ben Sinnott after the bye week. You are in the position now where you need to start developing guys for 2026, and whether Ertz is here or not, I have no idea, but it's very clear that you cannot expect to have a massive role for Zach Ertz in 2026. You're doing yourself a malpractice and a disservice if that is your thought process.
I don't think it is. I don't think they're stupid. that's the best way that I could put it. He's clearly lost the sub. I don't know what. He's a good red zone target. And I think, like you said, he's a comfortable target for the quarterbacks. But outside of that, I don't know what reason you would have to bring him back. Doesn't give me anything as a blocker.
No.
This false start bit that we've seen week in and week out absolutely kills me. But I got another guy that I want to highlight. We briefly mentioned him earlier. I mean, since camp, it's been a revelation for me. Jacob Martin, just week in and week out, continues to make the most of his opportunity. There is a relentless effort that he plays with that I wish permeated throughout the entirety of the defense. And when we get to Blame Pie, I mean, there were a couple of plays where Devon Achane is hit 7 yards behind the backfield. In the backfield, and then runs for 8 yards.
Scoots away and gets 10.
But that's all because they're not running to the football, which is supposed to be a cardinal sin of this group and something that's like a non-negotiable, yet week in and week out, we see it not happening without consequence. So, but Jacob Martin, 4.5 sacks on the year, 3 tackles for loss. Like, you feel him every time he's on the field, and I think I got to check the age, but he is somebody that, to me, is 29. If he finishes the season, say, with double-digit sacks or gets to 7 or 8, are you going to have enough money to keep him? Is someone else going to want to pay him?
The answer to having enough money is yes.
Yeah, you'll have enough.
They're going to have a ton. Do they want to divvy up that money?
I think you have to. Him? He's like a culture guy to me. He's somebody that embodies, you know, what it means to be a commander.
He's been are we going to do that bit again?
What? Oh.
Embodies what it means to be a commander.
Well, we still don't know what a commander is.
Yeah, we still have no idea. I thought Terry was, and then that, you know, got out of hand really quickly.
Yeah.
I like Jacob Martin. Now, he's going to turn 30 in less than a month, in December 11th. He turns 30. I do feel like that benefits you in that he's not going to – I mean, what is the market going to be for a guy like Jacob Martin? It's not like he's going to go and get like $3 or $60 million.
No, I just think it depends what the rest of the edge rusher market looks like.
You could probably keep him for what, like $8 million a year? $9 million a year, tops?
Somewhere in that area sounds correct.
Because think about it. Dorrance is going to come back next year. They clearly like Dorrance Armstrong, and before he got hurt, he was also up
for a deal at the end of next season.
At the end of next season, right. I would assume that they're going to draft a defensive end. Let me rephrase that. They better draft a defensive end. Maybe you address that in free agency as well. So I would expect that position to come back in 2026 looking massively different than it does right now. But I'd still like him to be a part of it. At the very least, he plays hard, which you cannot say about everybody on the defense. There's a select few guys that like really, really are playing hard, and Jacob Martin is one of them.
Yeah.
You mentioned Jordan McGee. He's another guy that I wanted to highlight during this segment because he has played really hard in the opportunities. It just took forever to get the opportunities. That has been, to me, Linnell, the biggest issue with the coaching staff and the decision-making process this year is that they waited way too long to start making changes that were necessary.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
When it comes to Dan Quinn taking over play calling, why did you wait until you were 3-7 to make that decision? Like, I understand you want to give Joe Witt, who's a guy that you really like, the most amount of opportunities to get it right, but it was clear he wasn't. It's not like you fired him, so you're still paying him. Yeah. You could have demoted him a long time ago. And similarly with Jordan McGee, he's fast. Is he a perfect linebacker? No. But you've been seeing Louisville in positions that we will call nefarious. He's struggling. He's not playing well. The things that worked for him in 2024 are very clearly not working in 2025. Bobby Wagner's a little bit slower in 2025 than he was in 2024.
A lot slower.
I'm not gonna be
that guy that caters to dudes because we respect what they've done. Yes, he has been a tremendous linebacker in this league. He is a detriment to your defense right now.
And they waited not too even long. Close. And I say waited. They still haven't made the decision to put McGee in there over Bobby Wagner, but they've waited too long on that process. And now, after the bye week, you need to very much focus on who is going to be here in 2026. If you're not going to be actively competing, and you got some big games coming up that are, it's not going to be pretty in a lot of instances, you need to work on who's going to be here, and Jordan McGee is going to be here next year. So like, you need to get him more reps to get him more comfortable. The best way to get better at playing football is to play football.
So lost in the sauce of Jordan McGee playing well, it's a feather in the cap of one Adam Peters, who I know we've been critical of in terms of his draft picks having impact. Is it that, or are they not playing his draft picks? I mean, I tweeted it out yesterday as we're watching. Like, you can't look at this defense. You can't watch him play and tell me that there's anybody better on your roster at the position. He made several open field tackles yesterday on Devon Achain, who is, third in the NFL in rushing, and a guy that is one of the most dynamic players with the football in his hands in the whole league. He flashes every time you watch this kid. So I don't know what the disconnect is. Is it something where it's like a maturity thing? Is it something where they don't trust him? Because I'm of the belief that, like, the best 11 have to play. And I was having a conversation with somebody off the record, and they alluded to the fact of, like, they got a lot of respect for Bobby. Joe Witt's a first-time play caller on the defense, how instrumental he is to their calls and their communication system. Bobby's not going to be here forever.
No.
So, and one, like, it'd be different if from the neck up, like, he's great from the neck up, but it'd be different if, like, he was giving you anything physically. He's second in the NFL in tackles. They're all 5 and 6 yards down the field. Right. Slow getting over the top. Liability and coverage. And I'm not trying to just rag on Bobby Wagner. I totally understand the significance of having like a player coach. He's not giving you anything, though.
And it'd be different.
Rush him. Let him rush.
It'd be different if the team was 6-5.
You know?
And the playoffs are still available. But now that the playoffs are not, McGee has to be in.
Yeah.
Kay Medrano has to be in. I need Ali Cajo to not be scratched. Put him on the field. Let's see what you bring in these players. You draft, Medrano, right? Ali Cajo, you bring in. Put him on the field. My mantra, you have mantras, I'm going to be mantra guy, if you don't mind. To get better at playing football, you have to play football.
Yeah.
You cannot expect guys that are not playing to just all of a sudden get better. So put them on the field, especially if there's really nothing to lose right now. Losses only benefit you in the long term if you're thinking about the bigger picture here. So go put them in. If he makes a mistake, he makes a mistake. So what?
You drafted him for a reason.
Like, let him get some mistakes in a season where it doesn't matter. So in the hopes that he becomes and develops into a good player, and you turn this thing around in 2026, which I'm still very much of the belief that they will, because they're not going to get bitten by the injury bug this badly in consecutive years, and your quarterback is going to be back in 2026. Let the mistakes get out of the system now, so when you play in 2026, you got to move into the right direction, and you feel much more confidently about your defense.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's just, it's tough for me with Bobby, because this is somebody who, first ballot Hall of Famer, like, you're making him look bad playing him as much as you are. And in the role that he's playing. Like, I think what he is best at right now is getting downhill. We've seen him tear running backs up in pass pro that are trying to stop him from getting to the other team's quarterback. Like, that's how I would use him. You have an issue right now and a lack of bodies, quite frankly, on the edge.
Right.
I think he could set an edge.
He could set an edge.
I would think he can, you know, take on a tackle.
I'm right there. I'd put him in that role the same way that they switched Deron Payne to the outside at the end of the year last year, because no one could set an edge. And like, hey, at the very least, you can do this. So those are some of the positives. Let's get to some negatives. We open up the phones at 11 a.m. here. We give our slices of blame pie, and then it'll be your opportunity in about 15 minutes here. It's B. Mitch and Finley with Denton Day and Leno Willingham sitting in for B. Mitch and Finley. It's a Misery Monday presented by Chenega Mayos. Top 25, 2025 top workplace. Visit careers.mios.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.